open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word we have in our hands. We thank you that you died in our place and paid our debt and brought us back to God. I pray you touch every heart and life that's here today. I pray you bless every child of God. And I pray, dear Lord, if there be one lost soul in the sound of my voice, that soul might come to know you as Savior and Lord. Give me the freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. We'll give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Such a familiar verse. And I got caught on it this week. I'll do that sometimes. I'll get a verse in my mind and I can't get rid of it. And so I've used this verse. I don't know that I ever preached it, outlined it and preached it as my main text. I've used it in probably just about every sermon that I ever preached. It's such a clear verse. And somehow the burden I've had most of my life, I'm not too interested in $25 words. And people who try to preach using $25 words, you know, it doesn't impress me. I like things simple. I like things plain and clear. And if I can possibly take something and make it plain and clear, slow pitch right across the plate, well, that's the way I like it. And I looked at that this week and I thought, how clear? Is this clear? For the wages of sin is death. How much clearer, how much easier can you say that? And then, but the gift of God is eternal life. There again, the difference between wages and the gift through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, you talk about clear. That's just so clear. I just was impressed over again this time as I thought about how clear the gospel is from this verse right here. And I'd like to start at the very first part, the wages of sin is death. Sin. The first thing, sin. Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Do you realize the answers I've got to that question? I've been asking people about sin for 51 years. And you know what? You can almost never get an honest answer. Yeah. Just upright. Are you a sinner? Well, sometimes a little bit, but I'm not as bad as. I went to a house right here on this street. And I opened my Bible up and was trying to talk to the lady through the door. She says, oh, no, I don't need you, but the man at the second house right over there. Now, he is a real sinner. He needs you. You know what D.L. Moody said years ago, 150 years ago? He said, you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. I like that. You can't take the gospel to the wrong address. Are you a sinner? Can you confess to being a sinner? Do you know that you're a sinner? I remember one time I had a crackerjack of a little teacher come in just right out of college, and she was doing her student teaching with me. I had 11 of them in my time of teaching. I taught 11 student teachers, and she was one of the best. My, she was just a natural. She just handled everything. Boy, she took it real good. I began to witness to her, and I witnessed her over a long period of time. Never could get her to be a sinner. No. Now, she had committed fornication, but she didn't see that as sin. She'd done a lot of other things. She didn't see that. I never did get her to admit she was a sinner in need of a Savior. Are you a sinner? You're here today. Do you know you're a sinner? You know, one thing, I guess because of the background, the way I was raised and the way I lived, I knew I was a sinner. And I knew God hated sin. I knew there was going to be a punishment for sin. How simple can it be? Do you believe the Bible? If you believe the Bible, things get much simpler. The first four words of the book answer most of the problems. In the beginning, God. You give me the God that I have in the Bible. You give me that God as real and true, and you believe Him, there's no problem with any miracle they have.
That's right.
He could have had a minnow swallow Noah if he'd have wanted to. Jonah. He could have had Jonah swallow the whale if he'd have pleased. In the beginning, God. Does that simplify things? It does for me. It's a very simple thing. God created this earth, and nothing else makes sense. Do you understand that? Evolution does not make sense as a first cause. Sure, you can breed dogs, and you can get great big ones, and you can get little bitty ones. You can get them black, and you can get them white, and you can make them all. You can breed among chickens, and there's evolution among animals. But for a first cause to explain this thing, and every time I see a scientific show, every time they come out with some new thing that I realize all these things are in my body and they're living out their little existence, whatever it is, to keep me living in this body, I'm amazed. God's even bigger than He was when I first thought about it. Do you believe the Bible? If you believe the Bible, you may be sitting in this room today and you don't really believe the Bible. You don't know what to believe. I believe the Bible. I believe it simplifies the answers to life so that the common man has a way to live and to please God. It says right here, the wages of sin. The wages of sin. First of all, thinking about you as a sinner, most people that really have not been taught the Bible well or wanting to excuse themselves trade off their sins for somebody else's. I don't know how many people you can talk to and they say, well, I'm not as bad as. Or, I haven't murdered anybody. I never murdered anybody. I never robbed a bank. Well, you know, I stole from my mother. I bet you did too. Some of you won't admit it, but I bet you did. I bet you lied. I bet you're a liar. Put you on the spot, I'll bet you lie. Put you in a place that's going to embarrass you, I'll bet you lie. You walk up to somebody and you want to make them feel good, I bet you lie. Bible said all men are liars. Man came by my sister's house knocking on the door and he was a religious man. And he began to witness to her and he told her he hadn't sinned in 20 years. She said, you just did. You just told a lie. Are you a sinner? Can you say it to them? I am a sinner. When you categorize me, I'm a sinner. You know, that was a problem with a bunch of the Pharisees in Jesus' day. They did not look upon themselves as sinners. Now, they knew those street people out there were sinners. They knew that tax collector was a sinner. They knew those soldiers were sinners. They knew that woman that was plying her trade in the street, she was a sinner. But them? And Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance.
Amen.
So it's a very simple question, and if you can come to the place to answer it in your own heart to say, yeah, I'm a sinner. And you know what? That just puts you in the category of human. Because every man but one that was ever born on the face of the earth was born a sinner, chose to be a sinner, lived as a sinner, and died with sin still as a problem. Yes, you're a sinner. Well, now he says the wages of sin is death. Now think about wages. Some of you young people, you think, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to learn a trade. I don't want to do this. I just want to have fun. Can't keep you in school. Can't get you to even be a journeyman and learn how to be a carpenter or a plumber or a mechanic or whatever. I met kids in the eighth grade. They're the best football players on the team in the eighth grade. And they are sure they're going to be the next NFL millionaire. They're just so sure. They have told it to my face. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Do you realize that the best players in junior high sometimes don't make the high school varsity? Do you realize that out of all the kids that make the high school varsity, they're good. They're all district, or they're this, or they're that, or something. They're the best runner, or whatever. They don't make the college teams. Do you realize that all the college teams, did you see all the games that were on Saturday? And those were just the big games. Just the big games. Out of all those college players, what percentage of them becomes a Brett Favre? Or a John Elway? Or a Michael Jordan? Or somebody like that? The percentages are so small. I taught school with a man. He was about 6'4", 6'5", black coach. Very long legs. Nice, neat little waist, and then just muscles all locked up here. He and I went to the same college. Howard Payne University. He played football, I didn't. He was very good. He played for the Canadian League for 3 or 4 or 5 years. And then he got into the NFL. And he was a wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles. He was there about 3 or 4 years. He had the good money. He had the name. He'd made it. One in a million. I asked him one day, we were both English teachers. I asked him, I said, when did you know it was time to quit? He said, Lindell, I went out for a pass. And when I woke up, I couldn't move my legs. He said, I thought right then, it's time to quit. Now that big career lasted about 10 years. You know the average NFL career, you know how long it lasts? About 3 years. My brother-in-law was a professional baseball player 1 year. Oh, he was good. He was better than I'll ever be. He could take that ball and make it curve, and he could just do things with it. When he was in high school, he was all-district basketball, all-district track, all-district football. He was an athlete. It lasted 1 year. You need a trade you can sell somebody. You know that? You need something you can do, somebody will pay you to do it. Or otherwise, my friend, you're going to spend life down on the lower rung of the ladder. And you may not even be able to buy bread sometime. You may not be able to pay the rent sometime. You may not be able to move out of daddy's basement. Wages are for something worth something. Wages is what somebody pays you for something you have done. Well, what's the wages of sin? You're a sinner. You're a sinner. What's the wages of your sin? You're going to get paid back. I know you don't believe it. I was a young man, just cocky as I could be, and my poor daddy was doing his best to put some sense up here. And I remember him telling me over and over and over again, Lindell, put yourself in the averages. Yeah. Start figuring the averages and put yourself in the average. Don't think you're the exception. You're the one that's always going to win. You're the one that's going to stand out everything. No, no, the averages will catch up with everybody, is what he told me. He was wise. He knew what he was talking about. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And my friend, that makes you a sinner. And the wages you're going to draw for the sins you've committed and the sinner that you are is death. Now, death is separation in my mind. The best I've ever been able to define what we see as death is the word separation. When you die physically, your soul, your personality, you separate from your physical body. I've been in a death room quite a few times in my life. I remember my dad. I walked in and talked to him. He was there. I walked out, talked to my mother, walked back in, and my dad wasn't there anymore. Turned the switches off. He's not there. What had happened? He separated from his body. Now that's physical death. Spiritual death is when your soul, your personality is separated from God. And eternal death is when you are separated from God for all eternity. And you know what the wages of sin is? It's physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. That's what it is. That's what you've earned by your smart addict attitude. That's what you've earned by pushing your lust. That's what you've earned by being so selfish all of your life. That's what you've earned for being you. Man, that's clear. How simple can God make it? The wages of sin is death. Let me tell you what sin's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your eternity with God. It's going to put you in a place called hell. I was going to college and I had a professor. He's a very smart man. In fact, he had about 3 earned doctorates. He spent a lot of time in school. And he gets up to us, a bunch of preachers in the class. We're young preachers. Boy, we think we're going to turn the world around and set it on fire. And he's dealing with us all the time. Must have been a problem. And he said, you fundamentalists, you say there's a heaven and there's a hell. And you come out there and you're preaching each week and you're giving people this choice. Either fry down here in God's frying pan or come up and eat pie in the sky by and by. What kind of a choice are you giving the people that listen to you preach? And I listened to that for a minute or two, and the thought came to my mind. I said, sir, what other choice does the Bible give me?
That's right.
I'm a Bible preacher. I'm a Bible believer. I'm a Bible preacher. He didn't have an answer for that. There is no answer. The Bible does not give you another choice. Talk about something simple. Talk about something clear. If you look at your Bible, read it as many times as you want to, study it out, get your concordance, do a little bit of work, you're going to find there is hell burning in God's eternal fire forever and ever and ever and ever. The scariest thought that I've ever thought in my mind is that thought of hell. The thing most repulsive to me, a human being, a sinner, is the thought of burning in hell forever and ever and ever. Or for my family, my children, my loved ones, burning in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. And the other choice is going into a place called heaven. That's so indescribably beautiful, wonderful, pleasant. A place where I'll never sleep. A place where I'll never die. A place where I'll never grow old and I won't ache with pains. Won't have problems. I won't eat too much. I won't sleep too much. It's a wonderful place. It's a place where I'm going to have a mansion. In fact, Jesus has been preparing that mansion for almost 2,000 years. I don't know about you, but what I've seen God do, it's going to be someplace.
Amen.
Now that's the choice the Bible gives you. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's very clear. It's very final. You have two futures. The wages of sin is death with an end in hell. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that future is heaven. Now some of you may know better than I know, because I'm not a Catholic. I never was a Catholic. But in these modern years that I've gone to some Catholic churches and Catholic funerals, Catholic priests are preaching them into heaven. They didn't used to do that. They had a place called purgatory. There is no purgatory. Not in the Bible. If you're going to believe the Bible, there is no third place. There's no in-between. You either go to hell or you go to heaven. Now, how simple is that? How clear? This verse just stands out in such simple clarity. For the wages of sin is death. If you get what you deserve, you're going to burn in hell forever. And he says the gift of God. The gift. I've received a lot of gifts in my life. And you know what? When somebody comes around offering me a gift if I will do something, I don't think that's a gift. I don't like that kind of gift. I don't really want that gift. If you're going to give me a gift and it's going to obligate me some way that I've got to read this or do this or work this or pay this or whatever, doesn't sound like a gift to me. That sounds like work. It says the gift. You know what a gift is? It's something somebody gives you freely. They say, "Dear Grandpa, and here I get, I have things on some of my shelves. I've got little lambs. I have little lions. I have butterflies. I even have golf balls, David, with Marine logo on them. Now, I'm using one. It's my putter. But the other three are sitting up on my shelf, along with some of the other gifts that I've received over my lifetime. The gift. Now think for a minute, do you work for a gift? No, not if it's a real gift. You don't work for it, and you don't work after you get it. Or it's not a gift. It might be a down payment of wages for your labor, but it's not really a gift. He says the gift of God. God's giving the gift. The gift of God. God wants to give a gift. Now, many times when I'm talking to somebody, say, "Are you a sinner?" They begin to explain to me how good they are. They begin to tell me how they give money to poor people. They begin to tell me how they take care of orphan children. They begin to tell me how they treat their neighbors right. They begin to tell me what a good mother or father they've been. They begin to tell me their good works. You think God is really all that interested in your good works? How good are your good works? If you ask for most of us, it's not much. If he wanted to count up the money, I had an experience as a school teacher. I did not like giving to the United Fund because it supported organizations I did not want to support. And so I said, for the school to have every teacher give, I gave $5. Well, they didn't raise the money they wanted to raise. And so the head of the thing came back to me. They were going back to get more money out of those of us that didn't give as much as they wanted. They wanted a full fair share, which was one day's wage or something for the year. And when he came back, browbeat me, "You being a preacher and giving the thing like this." I said, "I give 20% of my income every month to my church. If you will match that to your church, I'll double your gift to the United Way." They never bothered me again. Most of us don't give very much, even those who think we're big givers. We're not much big givers. We're not all that generous. We're not all that good. I preached a bunch of funerals. I had an interesting insight on funerals just a while back. I was reading in a book, and this father is walking by a funeral home with his son. And the people are all going in, and they just stopped there. And the boy didn't understand why, but the father just stayed there, and they talked. And they walked back and forth in front of the funeral home for about 20 minutes. And the people started coming out. And the father said, "Son, did you see where we were?" "Yeah, we're at a funeral home." "Did you see those people going in?" "Yeah." "You see them all coming out now?" "Yeah." "How long was that?" He said, "20 minutes, Dad." He said, "I want you to understand something. It just takes 20 minutes to describe a 70-year life." You better think about it.
Yeah.
And by the way, I preach a lot of funerals. I don't tell bad things about people at a funeral. Maybe I ought to. But I wouldn't get many more funerals to preach. And I wouldn't feel too good about it. I had a fellow die here just recently, the last few years. And he'd been good and he'd been bad. He was a professing Christian, but he had a lot of bad. And so I talked to the wife and I said, "I can preach this and show his bad for an example, or I can preach this and just make it good." He said, "Why don't you just make it good?" I said, "I'll do that." I don't know what happened to him the last second. Do you know when somebody dies out there, I don't care if they rejected Christ all their life, do you know they rejected Him the last hour?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe somebody can get saved in a foxhole? I do.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd known the thief on the cross and you knew he was sentenced to hang on the cross and die by crucifixion, but you weren't there at the foot of the cross and to hear the conversation of Jesus and that man, what would you say about him? "He's in hell."
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not in hell. He's not in hell. That man's walking the streets of glory having fun because I'm preaching about him today.
Amen.
You don't know. So you might ought to be real careful preaching people into hell. I know because of my son, Eddie, that some people that cannot respond understand everything that's going on around them. I didn't know that before an experience he had when he was 16. He was taken with spinal meningitis and he was deaf and dumb and crippled for several days. He's in the hospital. He talked to me. I could tell he was trying to tell me something. There was earnestness in his face, but I couldn't understand a word he said. After he got better, he said, "I was trying to tell you where I hurt. And you wouldn't understand me." Oh, my. You know what I do when I go into a hospital room and somebody's comatose there? I talk to them. I pray with them. And I tell them if they can hear me, God can hear them. Who knows?
Amen.
Who knows? I don't know where anybody went. I'm not God. You might be my best deacon. You may be my best giver. You may be my best soul winner. And when you die, go to hell.
Yeah.
Because you in your heart never believed the Lord.
That's right.
I don't know that. For your testimony, I'd say, yes, sir, he's rejoicing in heaven today. But do I know that? I don't know that. It's not my gift to give. I can't make you. There's been some people I wanted to see saved so badly that if I could have got inside them and done it for them, I would have.
Yeah.
If I'd have had the power to force them to come to Christ, I would have used it. But I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I never could. And you can't either.
Right.
It's not the gift of Lindell. It's not the gift of the church. It's the gift of God.
Amen.
And God's the only giver. Now, whether I'm talking about sinning or I'm talking about being saved, I always come up with good works answers. Good works answers. I'm not as bad as. Do you tell me that? Yeah, but Brother Lindell, I'm not as bad as. You ought to see my neighbor. You ought to see my brother. I preached the funeral of a pretty wild man. Very interesting man in my life. His brother told me, I'm not as bad as him. I'm not as bad as him. That means nothing. If you are a sinner, my friend, you're in the category of sinner, then you're under the condemnation. The condemnation of sin. The wages of sin is death. And I don't care how much you work after you get religious, after you join the church, after you make a conversion. I don't care what works you do, how much money you can give, how many souls you can count on your belt that you've won to the Lord, how much good works you've accomplished, how many people you've brought into the kingdom, has nothing to do with it. It's the gift of God. Not my gift. And God is not giving it to you because you work harder than somebody else or because you work at all. That old thief on the cross. How much money did he give in the church? How many people did he invite? How many did he bring with him? How many kids did he teach in Sunday school? How much did he help the pastors? He didn't have any of that. None of that. There's no works in it whatsoever. And yet I talk to religious people all the time and have. I don't talk to as many of them now as I used to, but I know what they say. They tell you about their works. They tell you about their works. It's a gift. You have to receive a gift. It's a gift that is given. It is not wages. You want wages? Your sins outweigh your goodness by far. I don't care what you do. It does not make up for the sins you've committed. You repent. God wants you to repent. You ask for forgiveness and God will forgive you. That's wonderful. That's a great thing. I preach it all the time. I've advised people to take it all the time. Yeah, well, what if I've been forgiven five times before? Go again.
Amen.
What if it's my besetting sin? Get on your face one more time and say, God, I'm ashamed to be here, but I'm here. You said if I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me my sins. I'm going to take your word. Go again. Keep going till you don't have to go anymore. But that has nothing to do with the gift. It's not your works. It's not how much you understand. It's not how much you preached or how many people you've won or the amount of money that you've given or the people that you've helped along the way. Those are simply good works answers, and that's what most people give. Or are you saved? I go to church. I was knocking on a door. I spoke to the man, said, I'm here. My name is Lyndall Kincaid. I want to speak to you about eternal life with God, how you can get it. He said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I said, well, are you saved? He said, I told you I was a Baptist preacher. And I told him, I said, I believe quite a few preachers are going to end up in hell. I believe there's lots of religious, very religious people that are going to end up in hell. Just because you're a preacher, does that make you saved? I've met some I'm pretty sure weren't saved. Of course, what difference does it make what I think? It's God's gift. It's God's gift. It doesn't matter whether you're a preacher. Man, I've seen preachers do some sorry things. Mothers and daddies, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, we've sinned against each other big time. And the wages of sin is death. You need a gift. So the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, the greatest thing I have ever experienced is life. Amen. Just life. If you're alive, you can enjoy fishing. If you're alive, you can enjoy driving a car or riding a motorcycle. If you're alive, you can enjoy television. If you're alive, you can just enjoy the birds and the bees and the trees and everything that's out there. Everything you enjoy depends on you being alive. So what greater gift could there be than eternal life? That's sure a lot better than eternal death. The gift of God is life for all eternity, like God's life. Man, that's beautiful. It's so big, there's no way to describe it. It's so great. How in the world can you see the end of it? All we can do is do a little bit of imagining. I am going to live with God in His life forever. That's His gift. That's His gift. You, by your deserts, you, by your merits, you, by your works, deserve hell. God, in His great love, provided a way that you could have life, have it more abundantly, and have it eternally. That's the gift. The gift of God is eternal life. Now, the third part of this little verse says, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's very clear, too. It's not through the church. I'm a member of such and such a church. That doesn't make a bit of difference. I've taught Sunday school for 45 years. Cuts no ice. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do you know this Bible is so exclusive that you don't get to heaven by Muhammad? Or by Buddha? Or by any other name than Jesus Christ? There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That means you can pray to St. Paul and it won't help you a bit. You can pray to Mary and it won't help you a bit. The only way you can get eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not a matter of joining a church and being baptized. It's a matter of receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's what it is. Yes, you need to recognize your sin. You're a sinner in grave danger. You need to recognize that Jesus Christ came to die in your place, to take your place, and die under the load of your sins that you might not have to. You need to understand that Jesus Christ didn't just die. He rose from the grave victorious over sin, death, hell, the grave. He beat it all. And He is that sacrifice on that cross took your sins. My sins. The sins of the whole world. And He paid for it. He paid the debt. There's another verse that says, Jesus paid it all. There's a song that says, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You may be here today, my friend, and not saved. You can be saved today. It's that simple. You can walk out these doors on the road to heaven today. Even if you walked in on the road to hell. If you know that you're a sinner and know the consequences of that sin and recognize it and say, oh God, forgive me of my sins. You turn your back on it. And you say, I'll take Jesus. You're my Lord from this day forward. 51 years ago, I did that. And He changed my life. He turned my thinking completely around. He gave me a new direction, a new meaning for life, reason to live. He blessed me so much, I wouldn't go back to what I had for anything in the world. I'm looking forward to my future. Now, this may be the last sermon I preach. It may be the last one you hear. Why don't you confess your sins, repent of them, and ask God to forgive you of them, and by a conscious choice, just like you're getting married, say, I do take Jesus as my Lord and Savior this day. From this day forward, He is my only hope of salvation, and He is my Lord. Remember what that old thief said? Lord. He called Him Lord. Lord, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, He knew He was the King. He knew He was the future. He knew He was the Lord. That's all He did. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a beautiful answer. The gospel is the most beautiful thing I know. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. If you're not saved, get saved today. I don't care if you've been religious. I was religious for 10 years. But then I got saved. I took Christ as my Lord and my Savior. He saved my soul and changed my life. By doing so, He changed my family, changed my children, changed their future. You can be saved today. I don't know any verse in the Bible that makes it any clearer than this one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's stand and sing number 249.